So the first thing in making the only wrong decision is to not make a decision. Now, you may think, oh, but I'm making a decision. But most people actually don't make a decision. Most people suck at decision making, to be quite honest. They try to make a decision. They would like to. They want to. But that's not a decision.
Welcome to Life After Corporate, your ultimate guide for making the leap from corporate leader to entrepreneur. I'm Deb Boulanger, entrepreneur, executive leader, and founder of the Launch Lab for Women Entrepreneurs. This is your time to break through the glass ceiling once and for all and get your ticket to the C-suite. Come back each week to get the leading strategies, advice, and tools that will give you the skills and confidence you need to replace your corporate paycheck. Are you ready? Let's go. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Life After Corporate. And if you're new to our show, welcome home. This is where you get complete support on the journey of making the leap from corporate to starting your own coaching or consulting or other service-based business. And today we're talking about fear versus faith, because what we know for sure is that the entrepreneurial journey will kick up all your stuff. Like whatever you've been carrying around, you're still carrying around with you. And I am thrilled to introduce you to my colleague and new friend, Kimberly Spencer, here today. Kimberly is the founder of Crown Yourself. She even has a coaching program called Queen Bee. And when we were just chatting before we hit record, my name, Deborah, is translated as Queen Bee in Hebrew. So I feel like we've always been aligned, Kimberly. We're just getting to meet each other for the first time. So welcome to the show.
Oh, Deb, it's so great to be here with you. And I know we connected through Elevate and me giving a masterclass over there. And just the synchronicities that show up, I'm very excited to be here with you and supporting your community.
Absolutely. I interviewed Megan Huber, and Megan was episode 97, I think, on Life After Corporate about how to create group programs. And then I saw Megan post that she was interviewed on your show. So worlds collide. We're meant to have this conversation today. And you, my friends, are the lucky listeners that get to experience whatever unfolds in this conversation, because we're releasing attachment to any outcome, and with the intention of uncovering how to move from fear to faith in your entrepreneurial journey. So, Kimberly, let's just dive in.
Yeah, you know? Let's do it.
Let's do it. So let's talk about the entrepreneurial journey and fear that comes up, and how do you move from fear to faith and find that zone of genius as a woman entrepreneur?
Yeah, so fear... First of all, so many entrepreneurs, I see, start their business on the basis that they want more freedom. So you leave your corporate job, or you leave a boss that you don't like, and you're like, I'm going to do this because I'm free. And that's great. And yet we don't fling ourselves off a cliff expecting to fly and flap our wings to get to Hawaii. So to get to a destination, we need vision, we need systems, we need structures, and we need a bit of faith too. Because, and how I define faith is not necessarily in the religious standpoint, but spiritually, having the faith in something that is unseen. When you have a destination that you want to get to, you don't know that you're going to be getting to that destination necessarily. You trust that you get onto a plane, a structure with some systems and navigation, a team to support you to get you to that destination safely and effectively while you sip your Mai Tai. And so that's the point where, when you're wanting to get to that destination, we have to shift our vision from being on where we don't want to be to where we want to go. And that's the simple switch from fear to faith. Is when you are leaving that corporate job, when you are moving away from what it is that you don't want, you can only fly so far and so fast looking in the direction that you don't want to be in. So or else you will crash, like, period. If you're constantly driving, looking in the rearview mirror at all the things you don't want, at the things that you don't want to recreate in your life, there's only so far and so fast that you can go before you crash, self-sabotage, and you have to start, you start back over. And so many entrepreneurs get into this consistent pattern of constantly looking at that fear that, that's where the stumble, fumble, take three steps forward, take two steps back pattern happens. And it repeats over and over and over until we catch it. So I like to catch it before we have the pattern of self-sabotage and turn our vision into looking at faith and what it is that you do want. And one exercise that I always give my clients when they're in the bare bones of figuring out what they want is by simply asking them the hardest question that is to answer, which is, what do you want? And typically, I'm sure, Deb, you get this all the time as a coach too, is when you ask that question, they give you all the answers of what they don't want. And so they don't want the, you know, 9-to-5 grind. They don't want the constant hustle and the push. And they don't want, you know, the 3 a.m. panic emails. And they don't want, you know, to feel unsupported. And so that's great. Like I say, start with what you don't want. Make that list. Get very clear, list everything out on what it is that you don't want in your life and in your business, because that's what you're creating. And then look at that list and just simply on the next page over, what's the opposite?
Like, so funny, you know, several years ago, I started as a leadership coach before I launched the business coaching of the business side. And that's exactly what I did with clients, because that's what they emerge from these horrible situations of, I don't want to ever experience that again. So let's get it out on the table. And what's the opposite? What is it that you do want? That's yeah. Great.
And so once you're at that space of looking at what is it that you do want, who do you have to be to create that? Because so often we work from like, we this is why so many New Year's resolutions fail. And I mean, the success of small businesses is pretty low with how many fail within the first 3 to 5 years. So and it really comes down to that we try to think of things from shifting things from an environmental perspective. So we think of, oh, well, maybe if I just change this in my environment, it changed this in my corporate environment, and instead start a business. Well, if you're still the same person who tolerated those, you know, wishy-washy boundaries, or who didn't stand up for herself, or who didn't use her voice, or who didn't show up fully authentically as herself, you're going to face those same problems times 10 in your own business, because your own business, just like children, is a mirror in front of you of everything that you got to work on, like internally, is a part of your identity. And so who do you have to be to receive that what you want? Who do you have to be in your own business? Because if you struggled with boundary issues in corporate, you're going to have boundary issues with your clients. You're going to try to over, and I see this all the times with my clients, with when they're struggling with a boundary issue in corporate, they leave their corporate job, they start their own business, and suddenly they're on a sales call that's supposed to last 30 minutes, and they're over delivering for an extra 30 minutes, and then they don't get the sale. And they wonder why that is. And it's because they didn't honor their own time boundary. They didn't honor the prospect's time boundary. They undervalued themselves. They were thinking that, oh, well, maybe if I can't deliver enough on this one 30-minute session, so I have to over-deliver, and which creates this funky relationship with the prospect, right, energetically. And so that boundary that you struggled with, that boundary issue that you struggled with in corporate, is now manifesting into your own business. And so in order to shift into that faith-based perspective, it is that space in the 30 minutes of saying, I trust that I can deliver epic value. And I trust that in 30 minutes, it is also 100% on me to deliver as much value as I can within the span of that time. It is also the prospect's responsibility. So we each get 100% responsibility, and we aren't able to take 30, 25, even 10, 5% of the prospect's responsibility for implementing the things that we may suggest, the strategies that we may give. It is our space to show up, do the best we can in those 30 minutes, and then trust and have that faith that if that person is for us, they will be for us. I have had sales calls that the person hasn't purchased, you know, and we all have, but I serve them so powerfully that a year later, they may be in the space where they're ready for coaching. Maybe in that time frame, they weren't. So it comes down to our trust in that relationship that we have with God, source, spirit, universe, as well to look at, okay, I'm going to deliver and I'm going to continue to show up in my most fully aligned, authentic expression of myself and what I want to create in this world and what I want to bring to this business and what I want to use this business as a service, as a tool for good. And I also trust that the universe is going to do her part.
You know, I'm so glad you said that. My mother-in-law has a saying, she says, wherever you go, there you are. And it's so true. And entrepreneurship is a journey of faith over fear. And I'm so glad you brought up the sales conversation because it is triggering for most new coaches and consultants because it brings up your self-worth. And when people overcoach or overteach or leave the prospect feeling overwhelmed, it's because you're trying to prove something to yourself, you know, that you're worthy or that you're smart or you know what you're doing. So whenever you find yourself pitching or convincing people, because it's what I've found is that this journey of faith is really about me getting out of my own way. I mean, that's it. It's just like, okay, Deb, this is not about you. This is about the other person and how present can we be? Mm-hmm. And you said something at the end with, you know, I do my best. And I had a coach once who said, I show up, I do my best, I say thank you and release the rest. Mm-hmm. As it doesn't mean anything about you that it's not the right time for someone else. But I do feel bad sometimes if I wasn't present enough to ask the question that should have been asked, that would have brought the insight that that person really needed to have right now. And I kind of let them slip by without having that insight. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I've had that too with clients where I'm like, oh, that question would have been a fabulous follow-up.
Like, dang.
But there's no harm in sending an email with one question or sending a quick Voxer message or saying, hey, this came to me. I was just thinking of you based on our conversation, especially if they didn't convert. I'm just curious. This question came through for me. You do with it what you will. And I've done that for some people who didn't join my Queen Bee program. And they've come back and be like, that was so insightful. I was on the fence. I wasn't sure. I'm going to work with you now. Like, because I had the courage to do that, to take that extra step and make, because that extra step is not about me. It wasn't even me trying to convince or sell or enroll them. But if that question serves in that way, awesome.
Exactly. And it truly is getting out of your own way because, you know, if you're tuned in to your intuition, your higher power, whatever you want to call it, then these ideas will come to you. And sometimes we don't act on them because of our own self-consciousness. Mm-hmm. And it's when you do just take action without attachment that wonderful things can come back to you. And that's when you receive. So I'd love to talk about some of the tricky mindsets, you know, indecision, procrastination, perfectionism, the impact of making a wrong decision as a business owner, as a leader. What advice do you have for the new entrepreneurs who are listening to this show right now, who are feeling like, I don't know what to do next. I don't even know what I'm doing. And who are afraid of making the wrong decision.
I love that question, Deb. And I love that you use the word wrong decision because it was a belief system that I had to switch in my entrepreneurial journey. And I learned this belief from one of my mentors, Katrina Ruth, who said, I always make the right decision. And immediately I was like, that's so triggering. How could you always make the right decision? And then I sat with it and I read the book, The 15 Commitments of Conscious Leadership, which was recommended to me by another one of my mentors, Tirza Shirai, who I interviewed on my podcast, The Princess and the Bee. She scaled her business, not a coaching business, but lash brand business from 0 to 30 million in 3 years. I said, whatever books you read, I want to read them. And the first commitment of the 15 commitments is putting yourself at cause and being open and curious. Because so often we live in this paradigm of right and wrong, of I have to make the right decision. And there's that perfectionism that comes in and that fear of making the wrong decision. So thus the problem is if you're fearing making the wrong decision, your focus is still in the rearview mirror and your focus is still on what you don't want. So if you fear making the wrong decision, then you're delaying the decision, and deference of decision creates more doubt in your mind. It just allows that open loop of doubt and questions to stay open like a browser tab that is just eating up your RAM on your computer. So with making the best thing that for making a decision is A, eliminating the belief that there is a wrong decision. Because if you look back at all, even the wrong, quote unquote, wrong decisions that you've made in your life, I know I certainly have made a few. And looking at those wrong decisions, how were those the right decisions that allowed you to be where you are right now? Because if they were a mistake or quote unquote wrong decision, what did you learn from them that you gained perspective, insight, growth? So for example, I owned an e-commerce startup. I was the president of an e-commerce startup for 2 years before I started my business, Crown Yourself. I could have said, and I lived by this fear a lot, that I made the wrong decision in choosing to join that startup and partner with the man that I partnered with for that business, because it led to a nasty buyout where every belief that I had and every fear that I had was brought forth by old white men about being too girly, too much, too educated, too young, too feminine, too blah. And all of those deep-seated fears that I never thought I would have to face again, because I was like, I handled those with my body and I handled those in my relationships. I never had to face those in my business until that moment, and it crushed me. And so for a year and a half, it caused me to dabble in the realm of doubt and delay in what I call productive procrastination, where you're spinning your wheels, doing all the things, except for the one thing that actually makes money, which is putting yourself out there and facing that major fear, which is the fear of rejection. And then I found out I was pregnant, changed my whole perspective. But because I was focused on, I made the wrong decision, I was scared for that year and a half in first starting my business, in which I made no money. So it was like a lovely glorified hobby with a fancy expensive website. And I spent that time so scared of making the wrong decision that I didn't even make a decision. And so it created this path and this open browser tab in my brain of doubt, of delay, of imposter syndrome, of fear of rejection, of all of those fears. So it allowed for that space to build. So the first thing in making the only wrong decision is to not make a decision. Now, you may think, oh, but I'm making a decision. But most people actually don't make a decision. Most people suck at decision making, to be quite honest. They try to make a decision. They would like to. They want to. But that's not a decision. And this is what I gave my TED talk on, was the power of decision making when it comes to possibility is to decide. The actual word to decide, and I get to be a linguistic nerd in this moment, it means to kill or cut down. So we know homicide means the killing of a human being. Well, to decide means to kill or cut down any other possibilities. So if you make a decision that you're unavailable for anything less than profit and prosperity, that is a decision that you make, so that even if you receive external information, like a dip in your bank account or a client doesn't close or something happens, where that external information says, oh, you may have failed, you might have made that wrong decision. If you have actually made the decision that you are unavailable for anything less than profit and prosperity, then you know that that isn't the ultimate end all be all, because that's not the decision that you made. So you trust and you build that faith that, oh, that's not the decision I made. So then there must be another way. If it's not that client, it's maybe a better client. Maybe I actually need to raise my prices. Maybe I was charging too low and that's why that client wasn't aligned. So there could be a whole myriad of reasons, but first it comes with eliminating the belief that you can make even the wrong decision, because,
you know, you're so spot on. And while I portend to not have any fear in my life anymore, really nothing scares me. I mean, I don't have fear of financial ruin or anything like that. I am at a place where I have to grow my business and I have to add like full-time staff. And the fear that came up, and Kelly Roach is my mentor right now, the fear that, and that's how I know Megan, the fear that came up was, I don't want to build, right? What I don't want. I don't want to build the same thing that I had in the corporate world when I built that business from zero to 32 million in 30 months. And then I had, you know, 53 people on the team. And then I was an operational leader because I'm a creative. I am a launch coach. I create things. I launch things. I'm a marketing expert. I grow things.
You're the visionary.
I'm the visionary. That's who I am. I'm the queen bee.
Yeah. And your zone of genius may be operations. Your zone of excellence may be your operations management, but your zone of genius, that's creativity, baby.
Exactly. And yet I'm a Libra. And so I weigh decisions for way too long. I mean, when you said my browser is open, eating up my RAM, I was like, oh yeah, you know, that still happens. I delay decisions because I guess there's a fear of making the wrong one. And when you're at a position where it's, you're making a decision to hire someone, it's not an easy decision to make. Kelly just looked at me and said, well, you can always make another choice. Mm-hmm. You can grow it big. If you don't like it, you can make it small again.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just something, sometimes we just need the permission or the proof or the support system to show us that, you know, any decision you make is not the end of the world.
Yeah. And even if you look back on some of the quote unquote failed decisions that you've made in the past, you can see that you're still alive, aren't you? Like, you're still breathing. You still, you know, ideally have a roof over your head. And even if you didn't in the past, now you do. You know, so being able to look at every single decision as being for you, not happening to you, so that it starts to eliminate that fear of making that wrong decision. And then to add to what you just said about that decision piece, being able to look at the decision and also consciously decide to not make a decision. Because so often we don't decide and we allow for that delay and that open RAM space. And I learned this actually when I was in NLP training, because it was a very intense training when I was going through my certification process. I was newly pregnant. It was my first time actually working with a coach. And I was dealing with all of these emotions coming up. I was, you know, 2 months pregnant. So first trimester, there were a lot of emotions. And I remember my coach saying to me, he said, Kim, let your subconscious mind know that you will make a decision about this frustration on Thursday. And I was like, I was taken aback. I didn't know how to process that. And I said, okay. And I let my subconscious, because on Thursday was when we were going to be learning timeline therapy, which is basically toppling the Jenga set of negative emotions that have stacked up over your lifetime and allowing it to be fresh and clean. And basically it's like clearing the slate. It's amazing. It's a combination of NLP and hypnosis that I do. But I hadn't done it before. And so I was like, okay, I guess we'll delay on that decision. But even just consciously making the decision to not make a decision claims your power over the decision. Because then you can, if you consciously say, okay, what decisions do I need to make today as a business owner to lead me forward? What decisions am I choosing to table? Because there is a power in our choice, in our free will of choice. When we are spinning the wheels in overwhelm and frustration and procrastination, it's because we are deferring to make a decision, which is unconsciously allowing the environment to determine a decision and wait. And so we then put it off until like, well, maybe when I'm not so overwhelmed or maybe when I'm not so frustrated. But the problem is that the lack of making that decision is creating more of that overwhelm and frustration. So instead, start with accepting the fact that you're choosing not to make the decision until Thursday, next week, next month, and then allowing for that and for that revisitation of that decision.
Beautiful. I love that reframe. I'm choosing not to make a decision, at least not now.
Yeah. And if you can set a deadline for when you can make that decision. So for example, when I wanted to launch my podcast back in 2017, I didn't have the income coming in to be able to sustain the operations without me doing everything. And I didn't want to do that because I was a new mom with a new baby. And I also had my own doubts about, you know, the title of The Princess and the Bee. It was like, no one's going to understand it, all these beliefs. And then it took every 6 months, I revisited that decision of like, is it time to launch my podcast? No, I'm going to choose to delay making this decision. until 2019 came up and I was in a mastermind that was specifically for podcasters and I was the only one without a podcast. And my business was then in a place where I was like, I can totally sustain the operation cost to be able to have a podcast and not do it all myself, stay in my zone of genius, which is speaking, connecting, creating, and building those relationships. And I can do this. And so it was then at that time, but it was because I'd consistently revisited the possibility of making that decision. The same was true when we decided to stay in Australia for the past 2 years during the pandemic. And my husband and I had the vision for 8 years to live abroad and raise our kids abroad. And we took that, we were on vacation in Australia and we saw everything happening back in 2020, in March of 2020. And I said, you know, we could stay here. And we just kind of played with the idea. And then I got to the place where it's like, we really could stay here. Like my business, like I can support us going down to one income. And because I knew my husband, you know, he is in voiceover. So his industry completely shut down. And I said, I know my business can sustain this. And he said, I'm not so sure. And I said, we are a team. And as a team, if you are not at 100% decided, then we will go home. If you're even at like 99% decided, we will go home. I said, but if you can get, I'm at 100%. I believe that this is the right decision. It's a fully embodied decision. And it took him about an hour. And he said, yeah, he goes, let me take a minute to think on it. Took him about an hour. He went off, meditated, took some time by the beach, which was very convincing, and said, yeah, we could live by the beach for 2 years. We thought it would be like a few months, but it ended up being a really wonderful 2 years. And we brought home a great souvenir of a new baby.
Wow. Wow. Congratulations. That's amazing.
But it came from making that decision and being very clear and decisive that was a decision we were making as a team.
Yeah. What are some of the other areas that you see entrepreneurs trip themselves up, you know, where they get in their own way, where it's fear versus faith?
So a lot of times they put their success up on a pedestal, especially people who have had success in a former arena, like in corporate, where you've achieved a certain amount of income, going from a $350,000 a year salary into a zero as an entrepreneur, like starting at zero, literally, is definitely an ego hit. And from that ego hit, sometimes because that success is on a pedestal, there's the fear of achieving that, because the way that you know that you achieved that was in a way that you don't want to achieve it again. So there's a fear of actually making that amount of money. And so that success gets higher and higher up on that pedestal, and pedestals are very easy to knock over. Or that they get to a point where they've had enough success to where they're so comfortable that the things that led them to having that success, like taking risks, doing big acts of courage, they're not doing. And so they're staying in that space of, you know, they've made a certain amount of money to where they're comfortable, but not actually, they don't really need to grow. Like there's not that necessity to build a team. Like you could stay very comfortable where you are. And yet there's that kind of innate desire to keep growing and keep going. But there's the fear of like, I've already gotten this far, and the perception that the higher you climb, the farther you have to fall. And when we live by that perception, then it dictates the decisions that we're making and the risks and the acts of courage that we take on a daily basis.
Wow. So how do we change our language to change our perception of how we're experiencing this entrepreneurial life as it's unfolding, as it's occurring?
So first, I love the question of language, because first, it becomes being acutely aware of what is the language that you're using. Are you using words like try a lot? Are you saying I'm trying, or this is really hard? And just allow yourself to be the gentle, curious observer, kind of taking that omniscient anthropological perspective of being able to look at how you're speaking about your business, about the choices that you need to make, about the choices that you're not making. And looking at what is the language that you're using around that, because that will give you clues as to why you're either moving forward as fast as you want or not moving forward as fast as you want. And when you can look at the language, especially words like trying or wanting to, or I would like, or it'd be nice if this happened, those are all not actual decisions. those are all statements of fact. Like, it would be nice if we all had $1 million. It would be nice if, you know, we were doing had a $20 million a year business. But that's a statement of fact, but it's not necessarily a statement of acceptance of where you are.
Or power. It doesn't give you any power to change your current circumstance, right?
Exactly. It's basically like you want to run a marathon, but you're standing outside and you aren't even at the starting line. You aren't even actually in running the marathon. You're looking at it passing by and saying, it'd be nice to run a marathon. Sure. Great. You got to start at mile one and move up. Like, so being able to start at that space. And then looking at when you look at the language of your decision making, looking at the feelings. Feelings are such a powerful teacher for our compass of what is coming up, what is not coming up, what we're doing, what we're not doing, and allowing for that emotional expression. Because so often a feeling is just trying to communicate something that you either deeply value that's not being acknowledged, or that you need to see within yourself, or it's energy and motion that needs to come out. And so if we can allow ourselves to have those feelings of frustration, to fully go there with the sadness or the frustration. Just last night I was processing, like, I couldn't even put a label on what I was feeling, but I just was processing through and realizing, oh, it's because I need to take a look at this list of several things for my launch for a program that we're launching next week. That's why I was feeling all of this, but I couldn't see through the veil of the emotion. So being able to accept that the emotion is there is first and foremost to being able to move forward through the emotion. If we try to deny, repress, or suppress, or escape from that feeling, then it bottles up like a whole bunch of packages that you haven't signed for at U-Haul or at UPS. And then eventually you have to go take like a whole, you know, rent a truck to go get all those packages that you haven't signed for. Where instead, if you just accept that the feeling of like maybe self-doubt, the feeling of frustration, the feeling of annoyance, the feeling of not good enough, the feeling of like, oh my gosh, I'm scared of making this decision come up, where you acknowledge the fact that you're feeling it, you're just signing for the package. Doesn't mean you have to open up the package and see what the lesson is inside. It just sign for it and experience and express it. Allow it to move through your body. I love using somatic breath work. I love using physical working out. I love going for a walk. But actually moving your body to create that energy and motion to process the feeling through your body biologically. And then you'll have the clarity to be able to see a decision that needs to be made. And then from there, making that decision or choosing to table it.
This has been such a rich discussion from, are you giving things meaning that they don't have, the power to decide, even if the decision is not to decide right now, and how to reframe your perceptions and use language to get more of what you really want and to acknowledge more of what you really want in life. This has been so, so nice. I've loved every second of this conversation, Kimberly. If our listeners and our viewers want to learn more about how to spend more time with you or access some of the great content I'm sure you're sharing, how do they do that?
If you like podcasts like this, you can head on over to The Princess and the Bee on Apple Podcasts or wherever you like to consume podcasts and subscribe and leave us a review there. If you loved this conversation and want to learn more, you can head on over to crownyourself.com and click the button that says work with me. And if you just want to follow and, you know, consume some more content about how to make better decisions, have more conscious leadership, then just head on over to all the socials at crownyourself.now.
Sounds great, Kimberly. Thank you so much. And that's it for now, my friends. We will see you next time. Thanks for listening, my friend. If you enjoyed this show, please head over to iTunes and subscribe and leave us a review. And be sure to hop over to the Life After Corporate Facebook group and join other growing entrepreneurs to get weekly tips on how to create more money and meaning doing work you love.